Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 307 on a rainy Wednesday. So Donald Trump's picks are getting worse. I thought he started off strong, and Marco Rubio and several people. They're, you know, like Kristi Noem, kind of okay, but I'm sure she's was a good governor and a good administrator. But he has just chosen Matt Gaetz, Mr. Sweet 16, Matt Gaetz as the Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I know a lot of conservative people. I was on 97.1 for 20 years. I know a lot of MAGA people, and I don't know many that like Matt Gaetz. I mean, I don't know anyone who really likes Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz does.
Mm.
Matt Gaetz likes himself a lot. Yeah.
What's his son's name?
Nestor. Yeah, Nestor.
How Nestor feels. Yeah, he has an adopted son named Nestor.
Who's like 6 years younger than
he is. So he's a grown-ass person?
Yes.
Yeah, Nestor.
It's a very strange
Nestor's
situation.
Nestor's like 40.
What?
No, Nestor's like 20-something, but Nestor Gaetz. Let me do a... I shouldn't have brought him up without having the...
I did not know this. How did I miss this?
Yeah, remember there was like... Because there was some persistent like rumors about... Nestor and Matt.
What about them?
Just that maybe
father and son necessarily.
Yeah, maybe there was something a bit more untoward happening there
between them.
Between them, yeah.
Jeez,
there was like some evidence people dug up that maybe they weren't technically like father and son. Maybe there was, you know,
but they're not father and son.
No, he was adopted.
Yeah, okay. Not naturally. Yeah, they're adopted father and son.
Okay,
how old is Matt Gaetz?
Old forever.
Enough. Old enough to be Nestor's dad.
Timeless.
He is 42 years old.
That's it?
Yeah.
So he's adopted a guy in his early 20s, and he's 42. I mean, it's not that crazy in terms of age, I guess.
The story was he was dating a girl who, I think Nestor was her biological brother, and they wanted him to be with them. So this is what I remember. And so Matt Gaetz adopted Nestor as his son.
So he adopted his girlfriend's brother as a son.
This is what I think happened.
This is my sister mom.
All of this stuff about underage women and Venmo accounts, that's all going to come out.
I mean, the hearings are going to be something.
Well, but the thing is, and I believe that Matt Gaetz is not a good guy, but why hasn't that stuff come to light yet? Right. He's been under investigation.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they don't have the goods. They don't have the receipts.
Probably your best bet, right? If they had the evidence, he'd be he'd be facing the charges.
Yeah.
They got to flip Nestor is what they got to do. If they could flip Nestor, he's going down hard.
I did not know that he had an adult adopted son.
Yeah, Nestor.
He hasn't been brought up by Matt in a few years.
Yeah, to the point where like I wondered if maybe like there was some trouble in paradise between Matt and his adult adopted son, Nestor.
You like saying Nestor.
I like saying it's Nestor.
An awesome name.
It's the funniest possible name somehow. For Matt Gaetz's
buddy named Nestor,
adult son.
But don't bring him around these two.
No, I guess not.
It'll make merciless fun.
Yeah.
Stairway to Kevin.
Sure. What would you like? I've got a couple different like interesting things, and I've got sports stuff, and I got a sports question that would be specifically for you, Dave.
Let's start with that one.
Okay. So this is actually a question that a lot of us that are sports nerds are trying to figure out, because we're trying to figure out how people are going to react to the direction the Cardinals have taken.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the Cardinals pretty much every day.
Yep.
will this direction change any of that for you? Will it be not no? And I don't mean right away, because obviously early on, everybody's going to want to see how it goes. But let's say it doesn't go great. Let's say it's boring or they're not doing all that well during this reset period and you're living through some hard times with young players. Does that change your willingness, your interest in watching?
No. Not me personally.
Okay. No, that's, but you're a group of people that matters.
Yeah, me personally, I'm like you. I like watching baseball, and I like watching Cardinal baseball. And we watched a lot of, I watched a lot of losing games this year, and I was fine with it.
Well, you watched a lot in 23 also.
I did. Yeah. Yes. I'm also an underdog guy. So I like the direction we're going. I think that, you know, I mean, we don't have any Paul Skeens on our roster, but you can have some Mason Wynns and not know it because you don't let him play. I'm anxious to see Brendan Donovan play every day. I'm interested to see Jordan Walker play every day. I'm ready for him to hit a buck 80 halfway through the season if that's what it takes. So me personally, I'm invested in the team. I'm invested in their direction. I believe in it. And I'm excited to see what the young guys can do.
Because, you know, like, you had me at hello, right? Just tell me there's a baseball game and I'm in. It doesn't matter if the teams are terrible. I legitimately will watch games between the two worst teams in baseball because. I mean, it's just, I know that I'm a weirdo. Like, I know that I'm not the norm. And that's kind of the curiosity that we have, is how much will maybe we'll see some with the winter warm-up coming up. How is the enthusiasm there? Are the crowds the same?
I think there's a big difference between people who watch it on television or listen to it on the radio and people who go to the games.
Yeah.
If you just go to a dozen games, that's a lot of games, but that's the only time you watch, you're probably more interested in a winning team. If you watch it on television or you listen to Ricky and John on KMOX, you're probably more of a diehard baseball fan.
Yeah, because I've been working on this idea, and I'm not trying to make any predictions. I'm actually more setting up a series of questions that I'm curious to get the answers to, right? Mm-hmm. Because any fan base is built of different types of fans,
yeah.
Right? You've got, you know, that we jokingly call the sweater knitters, the people that are just always loyal, love the team no matter what, thick and thin, always there, always watching on TV, always going to games, never going to change that. That's a percentage. I don't know what that is, but that's a percentage. There's the percentage that's, I think, where you're describing, where people are just into it, man. You're a Cardinals fan. You've been a Cardinals fan your whole life. It's just a part of your summer routine, and you're going to watch a lot. Maybe not every day, but you're going to watch a lot. You're going to go to some games, and that group probably doesn't change too much. And then there's the group that kind of what I fall into, which is you are into everything every day, like the nerdy little details, every rumor that's being thrown out there during the offseason. And that may be the group of people that you have the most trouble convincing. The people that are super, super high-end intensity fans who will take a principled stand, like, well, I'm not spending a dime as long as this is happening or this is happening. And I don't know what percentage of the fan base that is. I know that that's the heavily online portion, right? What you see on Twitter and Facebook and Reddit and whatever, that's a different kind of fan than the majority of people that spend on ticket money every year, mm-hmm. right? Like, people who make a Cardinals game their summer pilgrimage to St. Louis are not going to change that, most likely. They're more likely to change that based on the conditions of downtown than they are the conditions of the roster.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really curious about for this coming season, is how big a change is it going to be? Because the people that I'm talking about make it sound like stadium's going to be empty, none of us are going to go, and I'm not sure it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, attendance will be down, I think, mm-hmm. unless they make a surprising run and people in the second half realize, wow, they're good, we're going to go. But I don't know that it's going to be as big as people are trying, as a certain group of people believe.
Casual fans like wins, and they like stars. And we're not going to have as many stars. And so if we don't have stars and we don't have wins, yes, we're going to see fewer people in the stands. This way it's going to go.
And turn my mic off. And then the other side of this I wanted to bring to the four of us as an interest, as a conversation. It's about the Cardinals, but it's a bigger conversation. Because one of the things that John Mozeliak is talking about now is that in the past, they've not been willing to kind of stick through the struggles of certain players because they've been focused on, we got to be better.
Making
we got to win three more games this year or we won't make the playoffs. And I'm wondering how you guys feel about it, and I think that this is an interesting conversation for the bigger picture. Like, in every business, every job, every endeavor, don't you have to let people struggle?
Yes.
Before you cut bait on them and let them work through it?
Yes.
If you just moved on from everybody that struggled for a month, most businesses would never stop hiring and firing people.
Mm-hmm. If you go back and listen to my first 2 years of tapes, you're never going to pick me out as someone who's going to make it. So,
and imagine if the standard was, if you have a bad month, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And not gone forever, but maybe you're demoted to Des Moines, or I don't mean to demean Des Moines. Well, demean Des Moines, that's a weird that's a weird thing. But you got sent down to a lesser market because of one bad month.
Yeah.
And I think that the way the team operated and the way some fans perceive, well, you've got to perform to do things. You know, every career arc, whether it's a radio career, a law career, medical career, baseball career, is going to have different points where you're not great. And if the expectation is that when you come in at 21, 22, 23 years old, that you're going to be good and you're not going to falter and you're not going to have a bad month, because sometimes it's the timing of when you have them. If a rookie comes up and he has three great months, but then has a bad month, you suffer through the bad month because you've seen the three good months. But if your bad month is the first month, like Jordan Walker, mm-hmm. you get sent down. Where's the logic in that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that's what's changing. And I think people need to look at it that way because, you know, like speaking specifically of Nolan Gorman, he had a couple of bad months where he was unbelievably bad. But we've already seen him have a tremendous full season at the major league level. Like, you have to allow for ebbs and flows, right? I mean, nobody's career yeah. stays at a level. They go up and down. And I think that that makes more sense to me that they're choosing this path.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to let people go down into the gutter and then get back out.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to find out what they are.
Yeah.
Yay!
I'm the only one talking.
That's
no,
great.
I totally agree.
Yeah, yeah. Don't demean Des Moines.
You Des Moined him. Stop me from believing. 3:23 DGS. We have Dave Murray on the other side of the break. We have Bernie Miklas coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Razor's Edge?
Yes, for Razor's Edge today, I want to talk about this new research that suggests that people are getting more bored.
Mm.
As entertainment becomes more accessible, we are becoming more bored with it. Now, this was a study that was focused on adolescents and college students since the year 2009, and it was published in Communication Psychology, but I just thought this was very interesting. The reliance on digital devices and the constant accessibility of entertainment could be making us more susceptible to boredom rather than relieving it, because digital media might be shaping people's expectations for engagement, fragmenting our attention, and reducing a sense of meaning in daily activities.
Yeah. All that.
So the first, they argue that digital media sets a high bar for engagement. So basically, you're getting rewarded with all of this stimuli, just like boom, 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 boom. So this is a pattern that encourages you to seek out even greater stimulation, raising your expectations for what is sufficiently engaging.
Mm-hmm.
So a YouTube video that would have entertained you 10 years ago is probably not going to entertain you in the mm-hmm. same way that it would today. Social media is a great example of this. We went from text to images to short form videos. You kind of wonder what's going to come after yeah. the short form videos.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result, activities that don't match this level of stimulation, like reading or, you know, listening to someone speak, may feel even more boring than it did previously.
I think, not that this is the focus of the topic, but you know how you get the live feeds in your TikTok?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the next iteration. I don't personally enjoy the live feeds, but it feels like the next thing that people would be into.
Just be live streaming all
yeah,
the time?
Yeah, like, okay, I've had books, I've had text, I've had videos, I've had these little videos on this and the reels, but now I want to see someone do something live. Like, that feels like the next iteration.
You know, I've had the thought too, Dave, especially when it comes to deepfakes.
Mm-hmm.
You just wonder if it's going to reach a point where the technology is like, well, unless I'm seeing it happen live myself, I'm just assuming it's fake. So
yeah.
I've had the thought of like, well, do we all just start live streaming ourselves mm-hmm. all the time and turn it off when we don't want the attention? But
people are evidently using AI a lot too. Like, you can tell AI to tell you a story and it'll tell you a story.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And talk shows. Like, I've not seen them or heard them other than the one example we played for you a couple weeks ago. But you can tell AI, do a sports talk show in the style of Mad Dog, blah, blah, and Kevin Wheeler. And tell me about Cardinals baseball, and it will.
Very interesting. Okay, another issue with the fact that we're getting more bored is that digital media fragments our attention. So when you think about it, if you're on your smartphone, there's so many distractions on your phone. You're not just watching Netflix on your phone. You're being hit with notifications. You have all these different apps to choose from, and you can switch between these activities quickly. So that just feeds more into that, you know, just kind of manic, like, well, what's next? What's next type of energy.
Yeah, I've told the story before, but it really came home to me when I was watching this like 5-minute video about space or technology or something. I was really enjoying it, but I just wanted to keep moving. I just wanted to swipe my thumb because there was something behind it that probably wouldn't be as good, but it's new. And I thought, man, you are addicted.
But the good news is, it doesn't say this in the study, but I would assume that you can detox yourself from that and gain your attention. It's not like it's lost forever, you know.
I think
if you incorporate mindfulness or something into your daily routine, that's probably really going to help.
Yeah, you can break habits.
Absolutely.
But don't you guys think, too, that eventually, if that's what starts to get tiresome, then you seek something else that's not that, and it can be other forms that you've maybe passed by before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 333 on a rainy Wednesday. Yesterday kicked off our Operation Food Search Hardee's campaign. And all you have to do is go to any Hardee's breakfast, lunch, or dinner between now and December 20th and give a buck, and you will get a DGS sticker. Soon we're going to have our DGS beanies in, and those we'll figure out what we're going to sell them for. Maybe we'll do a couple of live events out somewhere and give you guys a chance to get those. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Not bad to have one kind of gloomy, dreary day today.
No, that's okay. You know, it's a little chilly. It's like 54 outside, lots of clouds. There is a line of rain, and it's got some thunder showers associated with it. It's running from about Hannibal, Bowling Green, down. It's approaching Washington right now, St. Clair, down to Sullivan. And eventually it's kind of will be approaching Bonterre and Farmington. That's going to take a little time. But that's going to come sweeping across St. Louis. You know, it's about 3:34 right now. I'm going to say most of this will hit between 5 and 7.
Okay.
And then kind of move out and then slowly fade. There is some rain behind it, but slowly fade. The clearing process is going to be very slow with this front. So a lot of clouds all night long. Kind of a cloudy start tomorrow, but I think we'll see some sun in the afternoon. Breezy 59. Chilly Thursday night, 39. Friday, gorgeous, sunny, and 59. Friday night for the full moon. Clear skies and 42. Nice. Weekend's looking pretty good. Saturday, sunny, 62. Sunday, bit of a changeable sky. Mixed clouds and sunshine, a couple of spot showers possible. Late day Sunday, 67. Monday is looking wet right now. Couple of things kind of off into the distance. There is a tropical disturbance south of Cuba. We've been watching this for a while. I think it will get the name Sarah here in the next 24 hours. And it's going to stay down there for several days. It's getting blocked out from the Gulf of Mexico by a big dome of high pressure. But as that high releases, that storm is going to come into the Gulf. Waters are very warm. And guess where it's trying to head?
No, not to Florida.
It's a possibility anyway. It's a long way off. We're talking probably November 20th, November 21st. Man. So that's a long, long way. For us, I think we've got colder air coming in here around November 23rd and lasting through Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And
the winter forecast.
Well, that too. But before we get to that, is this cold air could bring even a little bit of light snow.
So oh, wow.
Keep that in mind. It doesn't look like much right now. The computer models are way off the charts anyway. They're booting this thing, the whole pattern.
How about that New Mexico, Colorado snow last week?
Yes, yeah, not bad, huh? But you know what? The Front Range of the Rockies, their big snows are in November and December, and then they just kind of bleed off, and then they come back in March and April.
Didn't know that.
Yep. So there's a bit of a dry spell. And you mentioned it, the winter forecast, Thursday, November 21st.
Very cool.
The chill may be moving in right as we talk about it.
Nice. Very nice. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, so domestic violence increases during the holidays, according to the National Domestic Violence Hotline. They get more calls each holiday season. Abusers are more likely to partake in drugs or alcohol around the holidays mm-hmm. and are also more likely to be at home alone with their victims than at other times of the year.
Yeah, don't you just feel like the holidays are just kind of charged? Just yeah. in yes. general.
Yeah.
Yep. You know.
Here's another story. A human head washed up on a Florida beach. Police in South Florida are working to determine the identity of a head that washed ashore near Key Biscayne yesterday. I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, Key Biscayne.
Key Biscayne, yeah.
A beach worker spotted the head, which appeared to be that of a man, around 8:30 a.m. floating in the shoreline. Police have not determined how the person died and said they have not been able to determine exactly how the head became separated from the body, but they have a couple of working theories.
Damn. Yeah.
I'm guessing that's how he died.
Right. I think so.
One way.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
That certainly added to it.
Bomb threats were emailed to over half of Minnesota's election offices. They've been targeted with emailed bomb threats since the election. They come as election workers are still in the process of verifying the results of the 2024 election.
Which one?
Minnesota.
Hmm. Wonder why.
So hopefully everybody's okay. And yeah, I feel so bad for election workers and the
no kidding yeah.
stuff
yeah.
they
job.
Have to put up with.
Can someone investigate the bomb threats? There were a lot of those, and I know that there were a lot of reports that they were coming from outside the country too. That there were foreign actors doing that stuff just to create chaos.
Yeah, I still don't understand why we don't have really great non-lethal police technology. I saw a video on TikTok where there's this thing that shoots like basically rubber bands, like Spider-Man, and it wraps you up so you can shoot someone in the legs or shoot them in the chest.
Oh, I've seen that too. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. And it's like, then why do we need one more person shot who doesn't need to be shot? Just be quick on the webs, like shoot people with those things without really thinking about it too much, because it seems like less invasive than tasing them. But when someone's going crazy and they have a hatchet or a knife or a gun and you don't want to shoot them, don't shoot them with a web.
I want the Spider-Man gun.
That's all we need.
Right.
Where's Ben Boyd?
Seriously.
Yeah.
All right, your paycheck may be slightly larger next year, even without a raise. The IRS recently announced roughly 6 changes to various tax provisions that will impact 2025. Among the notable changes were standard deductions rising by 2.7% and individual tax brackets moving. These changes are meant to combat inflation and may have an impact on your paycheck, putting more money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice, right?
Be nice.
The Food and Drug Administration says to hang on to those older home COVID tests. The expiration dates are subject to change, and they're providing a list of tests that had their dates extended. So keep that in mind. I feel like every time I need to take a COVID test, my test that I got for free from the government has expired by then.
I took one, an expired one the other day, because with NOTA, No One Dies Alone, if there's one COVID case, you have to test. And it worked. I mean, I was negative, so I guess it could have been a false negative, but I mean, it did all the things it was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. You can check the shelf life of your tests on the FDA website if you're curious.
Can we still get them? Is it, did I just hear that? You can get tests?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do it by rounds. I'm sure it'll probably start up again in January.
I still haven't been vaccinated this time around, so I need to do that.
How about your flu? Get your flu?
No, same. I'm going to do them at the same time. I'm not going to.
You're an old man now.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the shingles one with them because it hit Wheeler so hard. But I'm definitely going to do shingles sometime this winter.
Yeah,
probably when I'm off for Christmas. Yes.
Okay, let's do a couple of little celebrity stories here. People Magazine has chosen their sexiest man alive for 2024. Would anyone like to guess, or did anyone see who it was?
I think I missed it again.
Dave Murray!
John Krasinski.
Come on now!
Which would have been a great choice 10 years ago.
Wait, what? Who?
John Krasinski, Jim from The Office.
Yeah, I know who he is. He's good. He's Jack Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is he the sexiest man alive? I was a little taken aback by that one.
Yeah, don't ask me.
Wheels is like, I can't even.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I can't even entertain the thought.
No, I mean, like, I feel like I think, you know, like, there's a lot of people that are like good looking dudes, and I don't know that I can. I don't know that there's like, to me, I don't see like, oh yeah, that one stands out.
Boy, I do.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
And my final story here, coming soon to Yale, Beyonce 101. It's a one credit class focusing on the singer's career and influence from 2013 to present. I always think this is like pretty silly when they do it with Taylor Swift or now Beyonce. How mad would you be if you had to pay for this class for Phoebe, Dave?
You know, I'm more okay with it than you would think.
Okay.
I took the evolution of rock and roll in college. Yeah. I can't really judge.
Yeah, you get a few of those.
I got 3 credits for it. It didn't count toward anything real. I just got to do it for free.
And if you ended up majoring in Beyonce, let's say there was one, well, it's kind of self-policing.
Yeah.
Like, good luck getting a Beyonce job out there, but
I would be willing to bet quite a bit of money that there have been college courses on the Beatles, on Elvis.
Oh, you know. You know,
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I just, in general, I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
it's just a little funny that it's an Ivy League school. Because you're like, oh, no, they're serious.
I would imagine they have more classes like that than most.
I thought it was interesting. I thought that if you were intrigued enough by Beyonce to take Beyonce 101, you probably already know all of these facts about her, right?
Yeah.
You're already probably a pretty big fan. So, yeah. So
yeah, I could ace a Beatles class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was my final story.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Hey, you got it.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have Bernie Miklitz on the other side of the top of the hour break. DGS and KMOX. I was just telling these guys, Andrew, that at KU, they're the Jayhawks, and you have the mascot, which is the Jayhawk, and then they have Baby Jay, which is a baby Jayhawk.
I love it.
And Phoebe found out she's exactly the right size to be Baby Jay.
Oh.
So she may try out to be Baby Jay.
Do you get, like, any extras because you're that?
Yeah, you get some swag and stuff. You get some credit.
Nice.
But the thing is, you don't tell anyone, not even your best friend, that you're Baby Jay. It remains a secret until you graduate, and then at commencement, you wear the feet.
That's the best.
Cute.
And no one ever is like, never seen Phoebe and Baby J in the same place.
Right. Yeah, she never comes to the football games anymore.
She's like a Superman.
She's always, exactly, like mysteriously absent, like, I got to go to the bathroom, and then Baby J runs on the field.
Like, hey, Phoebe, do you want to go to the game tonight? Nah, I'm going to do homework.
Then she forgets and she wears her feet. So you are a big fan of Chesterfield?
Yeah, man. I went there. I don't go there as a rule. I have no reason
to. It's like Cancun for you now?
Yeah, it's like I felt like I was going on vacation. I went there Saturday. I went to the District, which is the hot new joint. It's got that big old TV out in the middle of it.
The TV, you say?
Yeah, it's got a big old TV. Where are you going to see one of them?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's true.
You're supposed to go see one of them big old TVs. But I went to High Point, and I went to the Four Hands that's out there, and it's an absolutely lovely space, all brand new.
Nice,
super well put together. They've put a lot of effort and thought into that place, it seems like, and it's totally paying off because it's really nice out there.
Now, this next idea you have, I feel like I have to be reading this incorrectly. Mm-hmm. You say, I really laughed at the story of the Sydney playground that trapped people with trampolines and burned children.
Did y'all see this?
No.
Oh, man. So there was this
Sounds
playground.
Hilarious, though.
There was this playground in Sydney that is right in the middle of like a shopping mall complex, and they just cannot get this playground right, and they're not being very nice about it. I think the city and the people who are in charge of it are getting very angry and being very snotty about it. But what they did was they built this playground right in the middle of this shopping center, and they put in, as part of the attraction, they put in trampolines, but that are below, like, sea level.
Okay.
They're, like, below, so you have to, so you, like, step into the pit of trampoline and bounce. And it's very, very not clear that there is a little dip with a trampoline. So what's happening is that a bunch of, like, elderly people in, like, scooter wheelchairs.
Wow. Are ending up on the trampolines.
Are driving into the trampolines and, like, getting trapped and bouncing indefinitely. And it's caused some huge problems. Most of them are fine. One lady did end up going to the hospital. She's fine. But
all those burnt kids.
That's why you can laugh.
Then they decided to fix it by laying down a bunch of. Now, this is completely in the sun. There's no shade at all because they were like, well, due to budgetary reasons, we'll get the metal plates first, and then the sun shades will have to come like way down the line. So they put in these metal plates to cover up the trampolines, and the metal plates are directly in Australia sunlight. And they are just growing to, like, temperatures of, like, hundreds of degrees.
Hundreds.
Shut up! God!
Because Australia's like the surface of Mercury.
All right. All right, fine. You take it then, Kev.
He's on strike.
You tell the story.
You never know what's going to set him off.
I'm literally watching the video now, though, of one of the people on the scooter hitting those This is
It's really funny.
It's the dumbest design I've ever seen.
It's a horrible design. It's really stupid. And then they messed it up even worse by laying down... what degree would you say Celsius, Kevin? Precisely how hot would you say these plates are that are leaving these children?
They're going to go at it.
I mean, so having done stuff outside all the time in South Florida when it's hot, it's probably 115, 120 degrees when you're touching this hot surface, right?
You go. So it's 120 degrees on these plates that are burning these children since they neglected to put up the sunshades.
I think you might want to keep the kids away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think, but they
we've
keep
all gotten
promoting
those burns, Dave. I mean, when you go down those old metal slides when you were a kid,
They're leaving kids with some pretty unpleasant looking burns,
though. Yeah, that's just pretty. Like, the whole lighting is like.
Not unfunny ones, but.
Well, the funny thing is that people keep driving scooters into the. Because it's not just elderly people, it's also like dumb kids on Lime scooters
or
whatever.
It's like the pool scene from It's a Wonderful Life. Like, fall into the trampoline.
Yeah, they're all just like driving at full speed into these trampolines and then bouncing.
This is as bad a design as you could possibly imagine. You cannot see that there are trampolines. Like, they're about 6 inches below the surface level, and it's all, like, different colored circles, and there's circles within circles. There's no way you're going to see that that's that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.